It might be still early in the year, but at the first sign of the sun, people are out on the West Cliff enjoying the day. Some are playing frisbee, some throwing tennis balls backwards and forwards for their dogs to chase. Many people are lying on the grass reading. Yes, in this digital age, people still read. Reading is good for you, but writers are malicious people who take their inspiration from the smallest things and turn it into something strange and otherworldly. Let's go in and have a cup of tea and think about what writers get up to when they haven't got anything more useful to do. Hello, I'm Peter John Cooper. I was inspired to write today's story by a picture Claire Shervin painted, which grips me every time I see it. Who is this? I ask. Where does she come from? It is called, simply, Princess. She was known as a princess. At least that's what she called herself. And for all we know, she could be telling the truth. She did look like a princess, if you got the light in the right direction. She was small and given to dumpiness in the way that princesses generally are. But she had a willowy long neck, which gave her a regal air, and a rather cheeky face with a sharply pointed nose. A princess, well, yes, possibly. But you certainly couldn't fail to notice her, an individual. She lived in an apartment in Sandbanks or Camford Cliffs or, I don't know. It showed she had connections anyway. Oh, and she wore a golden crown down to the beach, which she would entrust to someone to hold while she went for a swim in the delicate, regal way she had, arms coming high out of the water and chopping down with precision, and the person she had entrusted the crown to would still be there, holding it ready for when she stepped into her bathing robe, because it would never enter their minds to do such a thing as to make off to the nearest pawn shop. The question never came up as to where she might be princess of. Some small Balkan state where her family had been expelled generations ago, a distant cousin of the Habsburgs, or even the Romanovs. Certainly, there was no clue in her voice, which was resolutely British, of the sort our own dear Queen speaks with. What the linguists call estuary English, halfway between posh and common. Plenty of glottal stops and elisions. I was lazing in a deck chair on the beach one afternoon, my expensive monogrammed lawn handkerchief knotted at the four corners and protecting my well-proportioned and coiffed masculine head, when she emerged onto the beach with all her usual flourish. golden crown on her head, glittering in the sun, poodle under her arm. Oh, yes, white miniature poodle, which clearly did not want to get its feet wet, because as soon as she'd handed her crown to a bystander, she came over to me and plonked the trembling creature in my lap. Mitzi, she said. I beg your pardon? Mitzi von Schlossenberg. I don't know whether she meant the poodle or her, but she then turned and entered the water without further words. She swam a length or two between the groins and tripped out of the surf, recovering her crown, and in one movement sweeping the poodle from me before setting off up the hill away from the beach. Which is when I discovered the dog's collar and leash over my arm. It was a lovely thing in itself, bright blue leather studded with garnets and emeralds and rubies in fine gold filigree mounts. And as I was in absolutely no doubt that these were all genuine, I thought she might want them back. By the time I had straightened my aching knees, the result of falling off my bruff superior super sports motorcycle in Milton Keynes some years ago, unknotted my monogrammed handkerchief from my head and carefully folded it in my pocket, I could see she was well on her way up the chine away from the beach. And it didn't seem appropriate to shout after her, so I set off the way she had gone. When I managed to reach the top of the chine, my legs were aching more than ever, but I caught a glimpse of her turning into a side road. It was lined with the usual assortment of bungalows and workaday 60s houses with balconies, but at the end was one of those grand Edwardian residences that used to be the norm before bungalow mania. And again, I saw her turn in through the gate and run up the steps. I limped along as best as I could, dragged myself up the steps after her, and rang the bell. There was a long wait, in which nothing happened, but then, without further warning, the door opened. There was an elderly lady supporting herself on two walking sticks. "Yes," she said. "Of the princess?"
"Yes."
"May I see her?"
"The princess, you say?
She left something with me on the beach. I'd like to give it back to her."
"Oh, which princess?"
"Mitzi von Schlossenberg."
"I know no Mitzi von Schlossenberg."
Maybe that's the name of her poodle, then. I've just followed them up the hill. I saw her come in."
"Oh, well, you'd better come in, then."
"It's just her, Mitzi's lead. Is she here?"
"Be patient. Come in and have a cup of tea."
And so I did. She indicated that I should sit in one of the deep brocade-covered armchairs and produced a delicately scented brew of Earl Grey.
"This is where I write."
She indicated a pile of Conqueror cream-wove paper and a pot of pens on the table at her elbow.
"Really?
A writer? How interesting! What do you..."
"Whoops!"
But she shushed me before I had completed the question.
"I enjoy creating characters, something to do in the long afternoons. I can't get out so much. I get over-involved in the detail, too much research. I get too involved with the legs. I have a thing about legs."
"Ah, legs," I said. We sat and eyed each other for some time.
Then she began to write again. Do you think she will be long?
The who?
The princess. She looked at me in an odd sort of way, as though there was something about me out of place. I surreptitiously dabbed at the end of my nose with my monogrammed lawn handkerchief in case there might be a dewdrop forming. Ah, the princess. Yes, I remember. At that moment there was a scratching at the door, and a white poodle ran into the room. Oh, this must be her now, I ventured.
Must it?
Isn't this her, Mitzi?
It's so difficult to tell one white poodle from another. They all look the same to me. Perhaps I should try to work out what the differences are.
You are looking very uncomfortable.
I must admit, I'm not feeling myself.
She let the comment go.
You must be hot in the jacket.
It's a very nice Cordings, Harris tweed in classic three-button style with single vent at the back. I got it at... I can't remember. Perhaps it was Barnardo's. I do relish a bargain.
Really? Hard up?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you'd have to ask my account manager at Coutts. Bankers to the nobility. Why don't you hang it up there?
She indicated a row of hooks on the wall.
Hey, yes, I will, just whilst I'm waiting.
I dabbed my forehead with the monogrammed handkerchief. Help noticing the princess's robe hanging on the next hook.
You can put the waistcoat up there too.
Not right. Tweed jacket and waistcoat on the beach. Can't think what
you were thinking of.
And the tie.
Regimental. The guards. It's very precious to me.
Were you in the guards then?
Of course. No.
I thought. I can't remember.
Perhaps the cavalry.
Best do without it, then. Guards officers are very particular.
And what about the shirt?
Charles Tyrwhitt. Handmade Royal Oxford in genuine Egyptian cotton. Very expensive.
A British Heart Foundation.
And quite wrong. For the beach, anyway.
Yes.
You could be right. I am rather sweating in it.
Hang it up, then.
And now those trousers.
What? My shorts?
Shorts, yes. Do not tell me they are Primark bargain bundle. In any case, they do not go with that jacket. I can't think what I was thinking of. Take them off.
I beg your pardon.
No time for modesty. Don't just stand there looking like a numbskull. Take them off.
I'll find you something else for you to change into. Something more...
She puzzled vacantly for a moment or two.
Something more becoming?
I thought I'd help her out.
But becoming what?
Something else, like Alice.
Come on, chop chop.
So I removed the shorts and hung them next to the jacket and shirt. Not there.
Over here, if you please.
I don't like the look of your legs.
I've always liked the legs. They're my mother's.
I can see that. Altogether too feminine.
Excellent DNA.
Although they have got very rickety of late.
Off then. I think I can find a better use for them. Stand them in the corner.
And I did. And I suddenly felt the pain of my ancient knees pass from me. 40 years they'd been troubling me, ever since I fell off my Vincent Black Shadow motorbike in St. Albans. Oh, that was so comfortable to be without legs. And the arms? Oh, my aching arms. Oh, this feels good. A farewell to arms. And I don't know how I laid down my arms on a low shelf. And the rest of you, in that cupboard. No, leave the head. I think I may be able to do something with the head, with appropriate headgear. A Panama, perhaps. Knotted handkerchief, indeed. And I felt, yes, without all that old stuff, without all those encumbrances, there could be possibilities. I luxuriated in the freedom. I definitely got the princess all wrong. Too many contradictions. And you, oh, you were a mess from beginning to end. I had high hopes for both of you. I think we'll have to start all over again with something better. Thank you for listening to that. Do you ever consider that you might just be a character in a book, even if it's one you're writing about yourself? Oh, just me then. I'll take a week to consider the rather existential question. And meanwhile, there'll be another story along just about the same time.